Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for MacBreak Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is MacBreak Weekly, episode 280, recorded January 3rd, 2012. Bang them coconuts. MacBreak Weekly is brought to you by Gazelle, the easy way to sell or recycle most any used electronic gadget from your home or office. Don't just sell it, Gazelle it. Gazelle your used gadgets today at gazelle.com. And by audible.com. To download the free audiobook of your choice, go to audible.com/MacBreak. It's time for MacBreak Weekly, the show that covers your Macintosh stories, your iOS stories, and all that stuff. I'm Leo Laporte, my first show of the new year, I guess. Alex Lindsay is here, back from his travels around the world in 2011.
I have my spread here.
You're set. You got an iPad, iPhone, and Air.
I'm ready for the show.
New Air?
No, not a new Air. I've had this one for a while.
That's your 11?
I did order a new laptop, but it's coming. It will arrive soon.
But I can't put it on the set. That might have been a mistake. We'll talk about it. Yeah. Also here, Andy Iannocco from Boston, or therein, or environs.
Outer Metro Boston.
He is the guy in charge of tech at the beautiful Chicago Sun-Times. Also has his own blog, The Celestial Waste of Bandwidth. Did you have a happy holiday, Mr. Iannocco?
It was a very exceptional holiday. It's a fun Christmas day. I spend the entire day driving. I loaded the back seat with like presents for friends and like nieces and nephews and sisters. And it's great because I come back and I have to spend about 10 minutes offloading leftover prime rib and leftover cake and leftover everything. I still have one small hunk of very, very fine beef left that I'm going to have to stew tonight.
Yum, yum, yum. And apparently acquired a Boston Bruins Stanley Cup cap in your travels.
Exactly. It's time to rally the team, I think.
2011. They didn't win the Stanley Cup? This was just like a hat they made in case?
Recently.
Yeah,
they couldn't stitch this unless like the embroidering guild had approved and certified their championship.
Okay, just checking.
We're looking forward to the first palindromic Stanley Cup, though. That's the oyster in the crown.
2002 was one. When's the next one?
2012. We got 100 years to rebuild.
100 years
is the
left.
Theater.
He's very patient.
21-12.
And he feels very secure about freezing people.
We waited 100 years for the World Series.
Right.
You know, we're Puritans. We're ascetic.
Suffering is good for the soul. Exactly. I was in Stockbridge for Christmas. And it's so funny because I'm a New Englander, born and bred, but haven't lived out here in California for 30 some years.
It's cold.
It wasn't that cold. It wasn't the weather. It was just the cold heart. it's the flinty New England spirit that allows them to survive on that land. No, I love it, but it's just, it's funny. I hadn't been there in so long. I was having a little deja vu or something.
You've been living in the Bay Area for so long.
I've lost it.
Really steamy. You go to the convenience store and they don't immediately offer you peyote.
Oh,
I'm sorry. There are places you can get that sort of stuff, but you got to walk for it.
The big story in the paper was that Massachusetts was going to allow package stores to open on December 26th. Big story. And it was a pro and con thing because on the one hand, the people, the clerks didn't want to really come in. But on the other hand, you can get liquor on Monday.
You got to ask her first.
Hey, I think the liquor was the trump card.
No, because they close these package stores. They close on Sundays.
It was only within my lifetime there you couldn't even open the stores on Sunday.
Right.
And again, we are by nature a Puritan fishing colony.
They still have state stores in Pennsylvania. I always go back up
where they sell state
stores.
Oh, for the liquor.
So you can't.
Same in Canada. Yeah.
I know this sounds crazy for those of you who live in California, but when you go into the grocery store in Pennsylvania, there's no alcohol. There's no beer.
It's weird, isn't it?
It's very
same thing.
It's all like Walgreens.
You have to buy it from the state run.
It's crazy talk.
Yeah.
Crazy talk.
And there's no. But here in California, anything goes. In fact, You could almost buy marijuana in the stores. It's that close.
As soon as the pharmacy, you know, there's like a little extra door.
Because you can get for $20, you go down Venice Beach, every five storefronts, there's a guy in a green cannabis suit saying, come on in, $20 medical marijuana card. Come on in. Nothing has to be wrong with you. What could you have? Headache, backache, chills. You're bored. You're sleepy. It doesn't matter. Come on in. And you get the medical. I shouldn't be saying this because this is like.
You're ruining for everyone.
This is going to bring the feds down on our heads. But then you get the card.
You did get the card.
And now you go to like this emporium. And somebody brought me. It's packaged now. They even have a cellophane seal around the lid so that nobody can. So it's tamper-proof marijuana. And it's like a little. This was a little one shot. It was like a 5-hour unenergy drink. Like, it was a little shot, one shot. I got to bring this in just to show people because it's really become an industry.
It is.
Just make sure you limp when you walk back to the table just to sort of sell the point. This is
medical. Oh, I have. Yeah, it's called the 5-hour lethargy drink, MN7 says. That's it. I will bring this in. I was just stunned. It's like, wait a minute. This is like, it's got nutritional information on the side.
How many calories?
How many calories? How many grams of carbs?
Yes.
And how many milligrams of THC? Or cannabinol or whatever they called it.
I always thought that the first state that would legalize would be something like Kentucky. Because they're like, you know, we've got all this tobacco, and people don't like tobacco, but people like marijuana.
Oddly enough, it's still not legal here. So unless you have the card, I can't be in possession of this thing. Yes. I don't know. It's just really strange. Sure. I feel like I'm in some weird Philip K. Dick novel. It's just like, the world has shifted and I didn't notice. We always talked when I was a kid. Oh, wow, dude, wouldn't it be wild? You could go to the drugstore and, like, just next to the cigarettes, you could buy doobies. Oh, that'd be wild. They'd call it Panama Red, man, or Purple Kush. Yeah, they do.
Yes.
Anyway, I don't know what I'm talking about. This is a show about Macintoshes, and the reason we're filling is because there's not a lot to talk about. It's mostly rumors, but some big rumors. Now, I got a chill down my back when you said you were going to buy a MacBook. Because you know that they're now up to 2 to 3 weeks on the Mac Pro. And I'm wondering, now there's a real question. Are they either killing the Pro or they're going to release a new one? And maybe if you're going to release a new Pro, you might come out with some new MacBooks. Maybe you should just wait.
I can't go any longer on the 17-inch that I have. It's just too slow. So
you get a 17?
Yeah.
Oh, you're nuts.
For what I do, I need it. That's I got a 17 correct. With SSD and a bunch of RAM.
So what do you think? Is the Mac Pro being discontinued, which you've talked about?
I think I still...
Or
and I don't
being
know.
Ripped.
So here's the thing: is that I need it so badly that I'm afraid that my radar could be fogged. But I really think that Apple's going to release one more Mac
this
Pro.
This is the last one
that's got a Thunderbolt, and then that's it. You know, it's like here's the issue is that I don't think that the support materials, the support resources for the iMac are mature enough to get pros through the next year or two. So I think if you do one more Mac Pro with Thunderbolt. You end up with, you've got all the slots and you've got Thunderbolt, and then you allow Thunderbolt to mature over the next year or two because it's taking so long for Thunderbolt to come out that I think you then I think Apple, I don't think we'll ever see another Mac Pro.
That'll be it because there's no, what else? Why should you improve it?
Yeah.
Now, I do think we're going to see MacBook Air style 15s, but not 17s. So you don't care. If you're buying a 17, you don't care.
No, I decided that I need
optical drive. You don't want a thin.
Well, I'm going to actually take the optical drive out.
A 17 inch. In the Air form factor would just be bizarre. It looks like a poster.
It would be. I think it would actually be dangerous because it'd be very long and thin. And you know, and the but I think that you know, for I'm also going to take the optical drive out and then put another drive in it. You can get people to do that for you, and so then I'll have two drives in it. This is really a workhorse.
I've done it by hand.
I'm not going to personally. I tried that one time.
I don't recommend it.
I tried that.
Well,
one
you
time.
Know what's hard is they. I don't know who makes these. Maybe it's machines. It's people with smaller fingers than I, because you can't, once you take it apart, it all goes boing.
Yeah.
It's like a watch, and it's too big now to put it back. You have to.
I'm kind of like, they're professionals.
It's like a suitcase.
There are professionals that know how to do that, and I will let them do that with their little hands and their.
I think. I wasn't going to say it, but you said it. I think they have little hands.
I think they're very tiny little people.
They hire.
To them, it's very large.
Yeah.
But they're like 4 inches high, and they just work on
small people to do this. Exactly. Andy, what do you think? What kind of revs are we going to see on the hardware?
Definitely a Mac Pro Rev in 2012.
Soon, though.
I mean, Alex is right. They're definitely going to at least bring it up to speed with the ports that are on every other machine right now. I also think that once it has Thunderbolt and once it has modern processors, the target on its back is green and glowing, and I don't think it's going to come out of this this horror movie alive. Because once it has those ports and a new processor, that'll give it another 2 or 3 years worth of life. And I think that in 2 or 3 years, the landscape for Macs is going to have changed so greatly that there's just no need for a Mac Pro anymore.
Yeah.
The 15, I also think that, 15-inch Air style Mac Pro is probably, the only question is, are they going to call it a MacBook Pro or are they going to call it a 15-inch MacBook Air? Does the fact that it has that larger screen, that not only larger but higher density screen, and the extra oomph, the extra space for extra batteries and extra heat dissipation, does that inherently make it a pro-level MacBook, or is the pro designation itself on its way out?
I think there's Air, and I think what makes a pro computer, because I have an Air.
I love the Air. I'm an Air fan. I have an 11 and a 13.
I think Pro is connectivity still. I mean, I think there's a lot of pieces that you're plugging.
Right.
And the Thunderbolt's great.
And slots.
MacBook Pro.
Yeah.
But being able to, without a converter, being able to connect your FireWire, your, all the other things that you connect. Now, I think that a year from now or 2 years from now, I don't think that that's going to make any sense because I think the Thunderbolt will fix that. But right now, Thunderbolt is so far behind on the accessories. I think we need another year or two of maturity before we're going to see it.
Is it possible that Thunderbolt's DOA? It's sure taken a lot longer. We thought there'd be stuff by now, right? Hard drives and they'd be here by USB, summer.
I think some manufacturers are waiting for the PC side of things to catch up.
PC's not going to go Thunderbolt. It's going to go USB 3.
Which is really unfortunate because it's so slow.
So it's the same. It's similar to what happened with SCSI and FireWire. You didn't get PC adoption and it killed them.
Yeah.
USB is dominant everywhere on the PC side.
It is. It'll be interesting to see. I mean, I think that might have been what slowed things down. I think that there were some technical issues that people were trying to slow things, that tended to slow things down and getting things in. The Thunderbolt tools that we have so far have been great. You know, we have a couple interface tools, and it's very exciting.
Curtis B. says Intel has announced that there will be Thunderbolt PCs. But Intel, remember, Intel is one of the developers of Thunderbolt. It was called Lightpeak. It was an Intel Apple product, just like FireWire was an Adaptec Apple product. And I think just similar to FireWire, PC manufacturers could put it in, but they won't.
It depends on licensing.
And even if it's not licensing, if it's just a chipset, you got to remember the margins in the PC world are so thin, so razor thin. They're not going to build in a capability that there isn't demand for. And I think most Windows users are perfectly happy with USB 3. There are a lot of USB 3 devices. We know that technically it's not the same, not as fast, it's not as capable, but I don't think PC users care, and they're going to opt for the low price product. And just because Intel says, we really want to push Thunderbolt on PCs, doesn't mean manufacturers will do it.
I think the one big advantage of the Thunderbolt, beyond just being a lot faster than USB 3 and not requiring as much overhead as far as CPU, is that it is one very small connector that allows you to connect to a large variety of things that might be on your desk, your other monitor, all the other pieces that I don't think you can get that you're going to get with USB 3. And so I think that there are some advantages to save possible money. I think we're going to see a lot of computers that get to a point, especially if they're able to power the computer from the Thunderbolt, which has been rumored for the Mac.
Right.
You get to a point where you just have one connector. Like, you just have a Thunderbolt connector and that's all we're going to give you. And I think over time that could save money.
People make Thunderbolt stuff.
Right. And Thunderbolt stuff is really a problem right now. I mean, this is a chicken
race. They're not. And they were supposed to 6 months ago.
And we've got a big long list. If you do a search, you'll see all these hard drives and you'll see all these interfaces. And for some reason, they're not shipping. And if they don't ship soon, it could be a problem.
But Apple can play the waiting game. Remember, the Thunderbolt is something that every Apple user gets pretty much for free. Or even if they never buy a Thunderbolt device ever, they still have that standard monitor port that they never have to really worry about. So it's not as though it's not as though Apple has to cut a new hole in every single device they make in order to put Thunderbolt on board. I think that for most users, it is going to be that thing that they don't use for about a year and a half until the first time that they need to buy an external drive and they notice that there isn't just one option for a Thunderbolt drive. There are actually four, and two of them are actually just maybe about 5% more expensive than the far, far, far slower USB 2 drive.
I hope that's the case. I mean, I hope that happens.
Yeah.
I fear that it might not.
All you need is one great experience.
All you need is somebody making them.
Well, all you need is one great experience with one great Thunderbolt
with
product. when people see the first Thunderbolt display and they realize that there no longer needs to be even a theoretical line between my mobile Mac and my desktop Mac,
right,
that all I have to do is plug one cable when I get back home into my MacBook Air, and suddenly I have every single port and every single accessory that I could ever want, because the display itself has the fast Ethernet, has the gigabit Ethernet, it has the FireWire, it has like the multiple USB ports. One cable connects it up, and suddenly I have access to 4 terabytes worth of storage and enough bandwidth that I could stream Netflix and do 8 million online backups, not without having this literally clumsy harmonica like thing that clips to the side. Those of us who used to use like those little kind of jury-rigged dock connectors that some companies make know that it's just after 2 or 3 times, you get past the gee whiz of these really weird adapters, then you realize that, God, I'm lining it up and trying to make sure it sits in properly. I'm not sure that the USB part is fitting in as well as the gigabit Ethernet part. One cable plugs in and everything else stays on your desktop. That's a really great experience. I think that's going to affect more people who bought the 13-inch Air as their replacement MacBook. And now it's time for them. Now their iMac is starting to age out of the system. And maybe they'll take a look in the Apple store and they'll think, I could either buy a brand new iMac for $1,500, which pretty much duplicates the chipset and all the features that I already have in my Air, or I could save a few $100 and just buy this one display that gives me everything that I would want to have in an iMac, the larger display and the wider array of ports. And that's when you get the fans of Thunderbolt come on board, the first time they actually use it for the purpose that was intended.
Well, I think the other thing is that the one of the other things you'll see with Thunderbolt is that you have the ability to have breakout boxes. So Magma is a company that I think has announced one, and they're going to be coming up with it coming online soon. Where you have a Thunderbolt, you know, it's fine to say that hard drives will be just as fast on USB 3, or, you know, you can connect to your monitor with other things. But the point is being able to connect a one little cable and not only get your USB and Ethernet and everything else, be able to connect to a board where you have actual boards. So you come into your office, and this is more of a pro user or high end user solution. But I think that for us, it's very important to do that. And I think that, you know, I think that it depends on who the consumer is. I mean, if you're looking for a distinguishing consumer that is less price sensitive and more feature sensitive, then the Thunderbolt is something you put into it. And I think everybody else is, you know, netbooks iPads.
You guys, I'm going to take the position a little extreme that it's DOA. You guys think that there will be accessories, Thunderbolt accessories, that these are going to be, are we going to see them at CES next week?
In the pro world, we're already starting to see them. There's the Pegasus Raids.
Black Magic is using them.
AJA is using them. So we're already seeing some. What we're not seeing are a lot of the little portable hard drives that we want, little mini Raids.
And they're really expensive. The one lessee is really expensive.
It's pretty expensive, yeah.
And it doesn't have a cable.
It's the cable costs extra. So I think
it's gonna be very specialized, and I think it may be DOA. I think the PC market might kill it.
I think by definition it's not DOA. Like I said, it costs Apple philosophically, it costs them nothing to keep it on this device for as long as it takes for adoption to actually happen. You know, the beatings will continue until people start using
Does Apple have what it is. The clout to get this to happen?
They have the clout to get it into every Apple device they make.
Yeah, but and I mean,
From their perspective, that's going to be fine enough. So long as it makes users like Alex happy and gives them the high-speed connectors they need on mobile devices.
Yeah, but we started this conversation.
It makes the entire line much better.
With the presumption they might not even make the Mac Pro for people like Alex anymore.
Well, I think that I don't.
They might not have to. If Alex can get the breakout box for a mobile device.
Or for an iMac,
they necessarily want to go for a Mac Pro. And if you think about them, Apple one day deciding that maybe it makes sense to put a Thunderbolt port on an iPad, just so that we can have not just for a built-in display adapter, but also so that we can have wired networking that works really, really fast, so we can have it work more intimately with other Apple devices. I don't know if that's going to happen, but that's certainly a possibility with Thunderbolt. The big deal here is that it's not like putting in a fancy brand new port that does only one thing. It's only for high speed connection to scanners and to hard drives. And if the scanners and the hard drives don't materialize, then there's no reason to keep putting this port on the device. So long as people still want to connect monitors,
it's their mini display port. It's their mini display port.
Well, and it allows them to continue to miniaturize both the iMac and the MacBooks without having to worry about connectors and being able to say, if you're really a pro person, we're going to give you this base unit, and if you're really a pro person that needs to add all this other stuff to it, there's one little cable that you can plug in that can handle whatever you're going to add to it, whether it's expansion cards, GPU.
It's funny that we have been here before with SCSI, with FireWire, and now with Thunderbolt. In all three cases, these were universal standards, Adaptec, SCSI, FireWire with Intel, FireWire with or Thunderbolt with Intel, where Apple did make bet the farm on these things.
Well, I mean, but they lasted for quite a few years. I mean, I did have SCSI for years. I mean, it's we can't expect these connectors to last forever. I mean, it's you know, I think that we'll be doing wireless in 5 years. You know, I mean, for most of the stuff. But I think the one difference about Thunderbolt for at least people like me is that the one of the issues.
ADB, I forgot one.
Well,
ADB.
Yeah. But this is the first pipe. This is the first pipeline that is as fast as the internal connection.
USB.
But this is the first connection that is as fast as the as an internal card, as fast as an internal drive, as fast as that internal connection. All these other ones were slower, so it was always a big shift down.
And USB 3 is a client server. You know, it's not a peer to peer connection.
Right.
And so it's not as fast. No, I know technically. I understand technically. I'm just thinking. This was supposed to happen, and it hasn't. And I'm wondering if it's too late.
You're still upset that you had to replace all of your PS2 keyboards with ADB keyboards when the Mac 2 came out.
You pay a price for being a Mac user, my friends. And sometimes the price is that Apple throws its weight behind a technology that doesn't take off.
Well, I mean,
what I'm saying.
When has that specifically happened? I'm not challenging you. I'm just saying. What are good examples of that?
Well, I could go back to the what was it, the bus that they had on the Apple II FX was the MCA, but I can't even remember what it was. But I won't go that far. That's historic. So let's not say historic. Let's just say FireWire, which never took on. I mean, we used it because we had to. But remember, there were FireWire accessories. If what happens is the market does not make many, Thunderbolt accessories, which I think they're not going to. Then I think that what we've bought it, we have a fancy display port, and that's it.
I'll argue though that FireWire was probably one of the reason that FireWire was not accepted on the PC side.
Because Apple required a license fee, and PC manufacturers are very price sensitive.
Which allowed Apple to push forward in the video realm, which back then was important in the late 90s, and push the PC industry behind them when it comes to being able to integrate video with your computer by 2 or 3 years. Right. I mean, it because USB was not there, and all the cameras had FireWire and everything else. And so if you wanted to easily be able to use iMovie and connect your videos and everything else, there was no way to do that easily on the PC. You know, and it was because they wouldn't pay for that licensing. So I think that while Apple may and we're still using FireWire 10 years later, which is, I think, pretty impressive.
And it's not like you have to go out and buy Thunderbolt. It just comes. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily buy a new computer just for Thunderbolt, but it does just come.
We won't buy any new computers without it.
Right. I mean, you should. Yeah, but.
Right.
But because, as Andy says, at the very least, it's a display monitor, display port.
At the very least, yes.
And at least you get that.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet you that's all you ever get.
We'll see.
Actually, it's not too bad. A terabyte Thunderbolt lessee external, $432.
And if you get the one with the SSD, it gets more expensive, but you have SSD.
But
this is where Thunderbolt really starts to sing, is because now you're able to take full advantage of that SSD. You hook that up with FireWire, and you're not going to get more than 100 megabytes a second at the absolute top end, and more like 60 to 80 megabytes a second, where that SSD is able to deliver 200 or 300 megs a second.
Right. That's one of the issues. One of the reasons why USB 3 is doing all right is because it keeps up with the drives, the spinning drives.
Right, and the big thing here is that USB 3, one drive to one drive, USB 3 is fine. But what if you start stacking a whole bunch of drives on there and you want them all to run that fast, and USB 3 then doesn't work so well?
We're talking about Macintosh. Boy, there's actually, now that I look at it, there are a few things to talk about. Apple has an event at the end of the month. What's it all about?
That's our number one question on
all
our,
things
on our
We are taking questions, for those of you watching live, at bit.ly/askmacbreak. We'll do a few questions, maybe more than a few, if we can get through these. Also, apparently, there's going to be a big Lunar New Year deal at Apple. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah, it's very exciting.
What are we going to get, 5% off?
Big shopping event for Lunar New Year.
got to fly to Taiwan first, though.
You can call him Sir Johnny. Start calling him Sir Johnny. And a CES preview. It's all coming up. And did you know that Steve Jobs won a Grammy? Just won a Grammy?
Wow.
All of that's coming up. So, there's plenty of stuff to talk about. Before we do that, though, let's talk about Gazelle. What do you do with your old SCSI hard drives?
I don't think they're going to give you much money for that.
No, they're not. But at least they'll responsibly recycle it.
How much is my Zune still worth? I keep on forgetting to sell it.
Let's see. I bet you a Zune HD is
I'm going to get rid of my Zune.
I just found my Zune HD.
I know. I found it too.
It was missing.
You can see how well I was using it.
So when you have gadgets that are gathering dust, as we all do, in drawers, closets, garages all over the country, you could just let them sit there and their value decline forever over time. Or you can go to gazelle.com and make money. Let's see what the Droid Bionic is. You know, that's one that a lot of people bought, and then they realized the camera took like a minute to take a picture, and they're probably anxious to get rid of it. So I just entered Droid Bionic. By the way, they have over 200,000 unique items at gazelle.com, 20 product categories. It is fully functional, barely used, in fact, free of water damage, you bet. I've got all the stuff it came with. Let's just see. But I see, look at this graph here, by the way. You know, if you'd sold it a couple of months ago, you would have made more money. So all that's happening with these gadgets, they're losing $113. Now, here's what – that's good.
It's still a nice dinner. I'll take it. For something that's sitting on your desk.
It's halfway towards a new phone. So I'm going to add it to the box, and then I'm going to go on. I throw all this stuff in a box. They will send me – or a print for me, a mailing label, so I don't have to pay the postage. And then I get a check from Gazelle. Or if you want to make even more money, you can get an Amazon gift card, and you'll get a 5% bonus. You get PayPal. You can get Walmart gift cards. You can even ask them to donate to charity. So if it's that time of year where you thought, you know, I should have given more, maybe my resolution is to give some money to charity, Gazelle will do it for you. Just donate those gadgets. You can even set up a page at Gazelle for your own charity, a kind of a bake sale, a gadget drive for your own charity, and they'll even make a page for you and everything. Gazelle.com, a great way to get cash, to get your closet cleared up, and get some cash for some new devices, which I really like. And if you, and again, if it's something that really, you know, like the CMS drive, so cool. It's a SCSI drive, 20 megabytes for Apple, 20 megabytes. Was it $800 when you bought it, John, from CMS? I bought the same drive, I remember very well. But what are you going to do with it? Sitting in your closet? I guess you could put it on eBay. Maybe somebody would buy it. But probably the best thing to do is just recycle it responsibly. Gazelle does not ship it offshore. They don't put it in the landfill. They take good care of it with green recycling. So just put it all in one big box. Get the money for what you can. Get rid of the stuff you can't. Great way to get a new phone. What about your Kindle? What if you have a Kindle e-reader and you want to get the new one? Let's just out of curiosity, I wonder if I can get anything for this Kindle. Put it in here. Have you had trouble with Chrome on the Macintosh?
I find that Chrome is not really stable in Lion.
It's Lion. Yeah. That's probably what it is.
It's Lion.
No noticeable flaws.
Of course, nothing is very fast in Lion. I have all this stuff. I'm bitter. I've become a very bitter person about Lion, if you haven't noticed.
$30.
I've been Twittering about it. Wish I hadn't upgraded.
Digital cameras. Anyway, I can go on and on. Why don't you go to Gazelle and find out what your stuff is worth? You can actually do it as an exercise. You know, just go there and put all your stuff in.
At least know what it is. What your options are. You know, then, I think that's the issue.
Yeah, why not? They pay the postage. It's a great deal. They wipe the data.
They send you a little
too.
Box.
Oh, they send you a box?
Don't they send you a box?
I think you can wait for them to send you a box, or you can just
send
your own box.
You send it to them. Use your own box. Yeah.
I think I'm just going to use my own box.
I have a lot of boxes. From Amazon. Right. So you take the Amazon boxes and then put it in the Gazelle and then you send it out.
Gazelle. Don't sell it. Gazelle it. We thank them for their support of Mac Break Weekly. They're right. They found the right show.
Exactly.
Yes, you could sell all your hard drives and buy one Thunderbolt drive. Again, if you're going to ask us a question, a little later on we'll get to those. bit.ly/ask.
Got a ton of questions and a ton of votes on those questions.
Mac Break. Yeah, the most upvoted questions will be the ones we'll.
So definitely get up there and vote. Even if you're not going to ask a question, go there and vote.
I have a question for you guys. What is going to go? What is this Apple event in? First of all, it's not here.
Hey,
it's in New York City.
It's not in Petaluma. It's not in Petaluma.
Well, it's not even in San Francisco. Moscone. All Things D says our sources say it is not an iPad 3 event. It is not an announcement of a new hardware at all. But in fact, it's an event for media. Probably, according to, I think The Verge, maybe it was Engadget, said, our sources say it's publishing, it's books, which is couldn't be more boring. And in fact, this event, I think, is designed not for you and me, not for the press, but for people in the industry. That's why they're having it in New York City.
Because there was a time when people read books.
Do you have any thought about what this event could be?
Should we cover it? Probably not. I don't. My information is pretty thin too. I think my mind is trying to tickling that I think there's some sort of a publishing conference going on at the same time, second half of January in New York City that I can't find right now. Oh, the Digital Book World Conference and Expo. I got an invitation for that a while ago. So I'm guessing that it has something to do. I'm guessing that would just simply be a good. I'm trying to read and think while I talk. It's very, very difficult this early in the year, Leo. It looks like it's not going to be something that will change anybody's life. It looks like more like a business sort of announcement, more of like deals with new publishers, deals with people who are bringing more content on board iBooks. That's my guess, at least.
Remember, so it could go either way. We could be caught with our pants down. They could announce an Apple TV.
Exactly.
And we could go, or...
Well, we'll be here either way.
Last time they did this... It was to announce the daily.
Right.
It could be the daily. Yep. So, and in fact, I think it's more likely something like that.
Well, I'd love to see an announcement that they're pushing the technology of books forward, so that we're adding more interactivity.
Clayton Morris did a blog post on this, and he says, I have my sources say the event will focus on iTunes University and Apple in education.
Well, I'd love to see that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's text, maybe it's textbooks.
Well, it could be textbooks, but it could also be the, one of the things we saw, I think we saw the hacks to the Apple TV, and we understand what the Apple TV is capable of. The question is how, when will Apple actually start to open that up? And when you look at the Apple TV, it is a perfect delivery mechanism for education.
Well, but we focused a lot on Apple TV.
I'm not talking about the big TV. I'm talking about the little puck. The little puck is a great distribution method if they opened it up a little bit more.
We focused on Apple TV and the Isaacson biography because he said he licked it and Steve Jobs. But remember, Steve also said that the other thing he was working on was textbooks. So this, and that's what Clayton's saying, this is actually a significant announcement. There will be at least two new products, and they will have to do with education and textbooks. And this is something that Steve was very much working on before his death. I think Clayton knows what he's talking about here.
Yeah, that certainly fits with the sort of thing that would be announced then and there. It's also worth mentioning that the only times that Apple has done or participated in at least an event in New York City since Macworld Expo closed there were announcements that had to do with partnerships with major other companies.
Right.
So you talk about the Daily, but also the release of the Verizon iPhone, which was as much a Verizon event as an Apple event. So I wouldn't expect this to be a big Apple logo only announcement. Right. I expect this would be a partnership sort of thing.
Interesting. So nothing we should break format for and put the big red logo up.
Well, not right now. We'll hear more as it gets closer.
I think you should send a correspondent there, put up in a hotel for 3 days. For all
okay.
Someone who's nearby so you don't have to spend so much darn money.
And, of course, because it's unsafe to drink the water, we'll make sure the champagne is flowing.
Just because the alcohol content will kill any bacteria. You're always thinking ahead. That's why you're the industry titan, and I'm just the person who's going to be at the Millennium Broadway between January 20th and 23rd.
Is that your hotel of choice? Yeah, that's a nice hotel. I like that.
Well, it's I'm guessing
centrally located.
We don't know where the event is going to be, so I need to be as central as possible. It's right there.
Uptown, you could go downtown. You could go east. Yeah. You could go west. You could go anywhere. You're right in the middle.
That's why they call it the city of big shoulders.
Chicago. It's interesting. Apple pulled out of CES. When did Apple pull out of CES? It's been a long time. 5 years.
Yeah,
probably.
Years.
And, of course, they pulled out of Macworld a couple of years ago. Macworld even is changing its name kind of to iWorld now. Microsoft says this is the last year it's going to be at CES.
Well, they were a little – I think they were snubbed.
They were snubbed?
I think
Steve
Ballmer's
giving the keynote for the last time.
Oh, I thought that they got there was a couple things they were pulled out of by CES as far as presentations, and the response was I thought they were pulling out this year.
No, they won't have a booth this year, will they?
I think that they pulled their booth out.
Ballmer will be speaking. I don't know if it has to do with being snubs as much as it has to do with the fact that big trade shows like this are no longer relevant. Microsoft has its Build conference they did this year. They hope there's just like WWDC now is the Apple event. So I think that Microsoft looks at Apple and says, they're not spending millions of dollars on the booth at CES for Microsoft was bigger than the studio. I mean, it was huge.
Yeah, I think that for the companies that have the recognition, that have the size, I think that it's a way.
They don't need it.
And here's the problem is they have to build a booth that is big enough that doesn't make them look bad by having some tiny little booth. And so it becomes this kind of one-upmanship that becomes this real painful process for large companies. I do think from a press perspective, there's a lot of advantages to smaller companies being at these things where people like us can go wandering
right.
through
and
see the stuff and look at the stuff and talk
about
will, it.
We will, in fact, be there. We're going to be there.
It's going to be time. Long. Yeah, we're going to go crazy.
When are we doing Mac Break Weekly?
We're doing it Tuesday at noon.
Tuesday at noon Pacific, or yeah, noon Pacific, mm-hmm. 3 p.m. Eastern.
Right.
Andy, you're not coming out for CES, right? You're staying home.
Alas, no.
I don't think we can Skype you in on the stage, yeah. So we will have Alex, though.
So you just have to fly me in, okay?
Yeah, we'll fly in. Why the hell? And the usual champagne.
In case you haven't noticed, it's kind of cold up here in New England. I'm looking for an excuse to leave for a few days.
I want out. although, as Leander Connie says in The Cult of Mac, Apple's presence at CES, Apple, of course, doesn't have a booth, but its presence will be felt if in no other way than the fact that there will be 8,000 MacBook Air clones, these Ultrabooks, will all be all over.
There'll be probably some more tablets.
50 new Ultrabook models at CES. Of course, tablets will be everywhere. And they do, and they did this last year. They had the iLounge. We're going to do iPad. Sarah and I are going to do iPad today from the show floor at the iLounge. And it's huge. It was 4,000 square feet in 4,000 square feet in 2008. It will be 85,000 square feet this year. 85.
What percentage of CES is that?
Well, CES is big, so I don't know what percentage.
Still,
it's
still a lot.
I think it's millions of square feet for CES. So.
Right.
But it's 85,000 square feet is a lot. This studio is 10,000 square feet. That's eight of these.
I'm glad I gave you guys 2 hours.
We're going to do a two-hour iPad today? Okay, good.
Well, recording.
There'll be a lot.
It's going to boil down.
It was fun last year. There was really a lot of cool stuff.
We're going to do probably a little bit of live view stuff on our end from Pixelcore.
Good.
And I'm also going to take my little iPhone.
I'm going to do that again. I got a...
I'm rigging it up.
I got from KV Electronics. They make a mini jack that goes in the iPhone and then goes to a regular XLR plug. And I tried it with the SM58. It sounds great.
And does the connection work okay? It doesn't go... That's what a problem I have with that.
Oh, well, I'll try it and see.
Talk into it loud. It's when it peaks, it really sounds bad. So that's it.
I just did a few test recordings. You know what I was going to try? Call me crazy. I was going to try using SoundCloud. So I would record it on SoundCloud on the iPhone, and it would automatically upload to SoundCloud almost instantly. You could listen.
I'm going to be testing the uploading to YouTube from my iPhone, and mine's a little bit more, you know, of course, me. Mine's a little more complicated, my little rig. But
I'm not doing video. I'm just going
to
do audio.
I'm doing video, but I'm going to try to be doing it, like, as soon as I finish one, edit the endpoints and upload it. And
yeah, that's what I was going to do with SoundCloud.
Right.
SoundCloud lets you do that.
Because it's, you know, it's all built into the
Crazy, iPhone. Man. Crazy.
Should be fun.
We will see new Intel chips, and that's of interest to Apple owners, because, of course, the Ivy Bridge is something that perhaps will appear.
Please.
In the next... See, that's why you shouldn't have bought the MacBook.
No, I just, you know... I knew that we were never... I had to take one for the team. I knew
right.
that this was never going to move forward until I bought
right.
something. Until I... You know, I know that you usually take the hit, but I decided, you know...
Leo, thank you.
I'm going to take the hit. I'm going to buy something and waste some money, and then the flow will begin. That's, you know...
Unplug the dam. Open the
yes.
floodgates.
Unleash the Kraken.
The one of the things we'll see, and this really isn't a Mac specific story, but I'm excited. LG, the LG industrial division that makes flat panels for many companies, is going to show a 55 inch OLED screen. The first time we've seen one in the big screen size.
You get a suntan with that thing.
And it's 4 millimeters thick. It's like
I'm having a hard time.
Yeah, because that's what you really want. Something 54 inches across made of glass that's super, super thin.
Well, it's not a screen. It's a sail.
It's like a pane of glass.
It's a sail.
I love that.
You could be sailing with it.
It's a pane of glass that costs $18,000.
Actually, I asked Scott Wilkinson, our home theater guy, and he said the rumors are $8,000, which is amazing because remember the first plasma TVs? When we bought them at Tech TV, they were $15,000. For, 50 inches. So $8,000 means that in a couple of years, it'll be probably down to, if they can,
it'll be on a laptop, a very large 55-inch laptop.
Now, do you think this is a serious product for consumers, or is it for extreme home theaters and people who are building out, TV sets? I mean, the actual video sets.
Well, LG is showing a panel, which means they're not showing an end product. But Samsung, I think, is showing an end product.
Somebody's showing a 4K.
I heard that Samsung, people who've seen the sample that Samsung has, looks like a production-ready model as opposed to just, hey, look what we put in our booth.
LG will also have a 84-inch 4K TV. That's what I like. I'm a 4K kind of guy.
Yeah, that's stupid. I know.
Oh, perhaps you prefer 3D.
No, I've seen a few 4K presentations, and they're all in like darkened theaters on real screens that were about 20 feet diagonal, and also manned by real working projectionists who know how to like manage an image. And it did look gorgeous. I don't really think that if you put a 4K display in someone's living room, I'm not sure that anybody will be able to see the difference between that display and something that cost about one third as much.
I think it depends on the size of the monitor. I have to say that I was looking at a 100-inch LCD.
It has to be big before you see it.
And the 1080p definitely looks pretty pixelated on a 100-inch Panasonic.
Yeah, a big one, 4K, they've had them every year at CES for 5 years. Right. It looks like you're looking out a window. I mean, it looks like, oh, yeah, it's right there. That's real. I don't know. I just like it.
it's new and it's shiny.
We all acknowledge that 4,000 is a much higher number than 1,000.
Which obviously 4, makes it better.
So. Bigger is always better. Ford, of course, is going to be there, our sponsor. I'll be having dinner with the CEO of Ford. Just a small, intimate dinner.
A small, intimate dinner with the CEO of Ford?
Yeah. On Tuesday.
Nice.
So I'll let you know how that goes. They're going to be there. In fact, a lot of car companies will be there talking about integration with smartphones and, you know, iPhones and all that stuff. Microsoft.
More ashtrays in the Mustang. Because I got a butt going to my commute, and there's never an ashtray where I want it. We're going to put another ashtray in this car.
They don't call them cigarette lighters anymore. They're accessory ports. Did you notice that?
I just want, I kind of just want outlets built. I'm working on trying to figure out how to do it.
Give me a plug.
I just need an outlet. I don't need any more.
Well, it's DC. That's why they don't give you a plug, because it's DC.
Just build an inverter into it. And then
it could have an inverter in the car. That's probably, there's a reason. Like, it burst into flame or something. I'm thinking there's a reason.
It does. It will be more likely. If you don't build it well, it would be more likely to burn out the battery.
You know what I want to hear from Alan Mulally? A new car? No, I can't wait to find out what's the latest in sync and all that stuff.
Well, Leo, you know how much it's going to cost us to trailer this car like all the way back to Detroit.
Just let me drive it.
Why don't we just slip us $100 and you just drive? You know, it's much easier. It's just simpler for everybody. Right. It'll waste less gas.
Solves that problem. I am bribable. It's just got to be at a certain level.
Exactly. That's why I don't have an ethics policy like link on my site, because I would have to say I am purchasable for the right price. The problem is you have to buy my retirement starting tomorrow
price.
After
exactly.
I write the thing you told me to write.
Exactly.
But I'm fine with that. I think that anybody who loves me would say $1 million? Okay.
I sell out, it'll be big. That's it. Just you and I. It's not that we're not for sale, it's just that we have standards.
A large number.
It's a big number.
The litmus test is if I told you about the offer that I received and turned down, if you want to hit me, then for having turned it down, then I think that was not the right decision.
Is there anything else for CES? No, that's it, right?
Yeah,
is there going to be some pro stuff that you're going to look at?
I'm going to look at everything.
But I mean, is this Blackmagic's there, right? Or no?
No. There's not a lot of pro stuff, but I'll be looking. There are some little bits of things, and usually there's things that we look at and we say we could use that in the pro field, like GoPros and that type of thing.
Oh, GoPros are cool. They'll be
a lot of portable, I'll be looking for like portable cameras and small cameras, and then, but a lot of times you'll see stuff, especially in the little Chinese section that's over in the North Hall, you'll see a lot of stuff that's pending, that's coming, that they're trying to sell to resellers. And a lot of things you go through there, and I'll be covering some of that with my little iPhone and stuff like that. But a lot of that's the kind of stuff that you'll see this year, and next year it'll be packaged in,
And PMA is across the street.
Oh, so there'll be a lot of photography stuff. PMA is the Photo Marketing
Association.
I forgot
the PMA's happening at the same time.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
So,
I believe with our passes.
We do?
I believe. I'm double checking, but I think
I'll make
so.
Let's do some photo stuff then.
Yeah. I forgot. I have to admit, I've been so focused on CES, I forgot the PMA.
5D Mark III.
I don't know if it's going to. Well, the rumor is it's going to be a little later in the announcement schedule.
Patow.
Evidently,
got questions.
You can turn it. Yep, we do have questions. Hold on.
We're going to get to those in a second. A big article by Jackie Cheng in Infinite Loop on Ars Technica. Apparently, when your iPhone gets stolen, iMessages continue. There's an old Johnny Carson joke. It says, when you die, your hair and your fingernails continue to grow, but messages tend to taper off. And I think that this is the same story. If your phone gets stolen, texts might continue to go to it. I don't know why this is a story.
There was actually what happened was that someone lost it, and then it appeared that stuff was still going to that phone.
Well, of course it was.
Well, but there was a 3-step process. I think that they said you first report it, then you.
Then you deactivate
first. You wipe it.
Then you deactivate it, and you get a new SIM and your new card.
But you have to get a new SIM and the new card. Like if you don't do that part.
Oh, if you don't get the new SIM.
Yeah, you need to get a new. You need to turn a new one on to finish the cycle.
That's good to know.
It's not just text messaging. It's also iMessage, where there's something in Apple's software that's saying it's not just registering via the SIM. It's registering by the unique ID of this phone.
So it is not sufficient to deactivate the phone, which is what I do. I go to AT&T's site and I say this phone's been lost. And deactivate it, but iMessages could continue to show up on that lost phone.
Yeah. So long as you're still registered to the exact same phone number as before.
Got it.
Yes, there's a workaround for it. If you have attached a PIM to your PIN to your SIM card, then supposedly that will stop it from working. But also, it might stop. Find my iPhone and all those other features from working as well, because it will essentially disconnect everything from everything under the wrong circumstances.
Yeah, only do that after you've given up. I mean, if you think you might find the phone, don't do that yet. You can wipe it, though. Find my iPhone still works after a wipe.
You can wipe it. This is just about iMessage.
Right. Yeah. It happened when David Hovis contacted Ars Technica to say that Mrs. Hovis's 4S had been stolen. She remotely wiped the device, deactivated the SIM, bought a new iPhone, activated it with her old number, but when he began sending iMessages to his wife, both she and the new owner of the stolen phone received them. And in fact, Hovis and the new owner of the phone had like a dialogue.
He said, "Who's this? Why are you messaging me?"
"Well, you stole my phone." He apparently purchased it from somebody.
I don't think I would have started with my stolen phone and said, "Hey, I'd like to take you out for lunch."
Yeah. Hey, let's get together.
Yeah, let's.
Allegedly.
Hi, this is Tim Cook, CEO of Apple. You have registered the 100 millionth iPhone. Come to the central police station to collect your free gift card.
But see, he had done all of this.
Except for change the SIM number.
He hadn't. Oh, you have to get a new SIM in your new phone.
So I know that with my other phone. As soon as I haven't done it with iMessages, but with my older iPhone 4, obviously it stops working.
The problem is you can't really test this very well. But that's what Hovis said had happened, is that wipe, deactivate, new SIM, new phone, and still it was happening.
And is it just the iMessages that are
going
to? It's
just iMessages.
So it's because it's not because your cell service is getting turned off, but the iMessages are still.
It's over Wi-Fi.
Right. If it's still logged in.
Macworld says that wiping, deactivating the SIM, and then activating a new SIM works. But apparently some Ars Technica correspondents say no. There's a more complicated process that will work to lock stolen phones, iPhones from iMessages. But be warned, says Jackie, it could also block you from finding the phone if a thief reboots your phone. Set a PIN on your SIM card, which is different than setting a PIN for the phone.
Right. That's what I was talking about earlier.
Got it. But if you do it wrong, you could lock yourself out. Because apparently there is a default PIN for the SIM card, the carrier says.
Yeah, it's a feature that practically nobody uses. That's why this is news to so many people. I myself had not heard about this for like 2 or 3 years.
It seems like a good idea.
There are pros and cons. The only inconvenience to you is that every time you power down and restart the phone, you'll also have to enter in the PIN for the for your SIM card, in addition to whatever lock screen PIN you put in for the OS itself.
But not every time you just turn it off. It's just you have to power it all the way down.
Only when you boot it up from cold.
So
there's not a whole lot of inconvenience, but it does mean that some services that count on free open access to the SIM. Might interfere with that sort of stuff, like Find My iPhone, like some of these other like LoJack type services for devices.
So it's in settings. It's the phone entry in settings. So you tap that, and SIM PIN right there is off. So let's put in a new SIM pin. I better. Should I hide my? No,
you can change it later. You just 1, 2, 3, 4. And
do you want me to not show this?
No, I don't care.
That's not a Verizon. It's AT&T, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. You do this on Verizon. Verizon does not have a SIM card.
It says, whoa, now wait a minute. Now, I'm scared. Could not lock SIM. One attempt remaining. What the hell's that mean? No! I'm going to leave that off. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did see that.
That looked like I was going to screw up my phone. So the default is for... Bell Canada and AT&T is 1111. For Rogers Wireless, 1234. For Sprint, it's 40. I don't know what it is for Verizon. Oh, Verizon doesn't have a SIM card, of course.
That's it's asking you for the PIN.
Is it?
It's asking you for it. You got to put a PIN in to change the
PIN. So 1111.
You better hope it could do it right.
Ah!
Okay, there you go.
Now I almost bricked my phone. Is that what you're saying?
I didn't
current
want to
say PIN that. Is 1111. New PIN, we'll just say this because that's what it is. And then save it. So now I've got a PIN is on. So if I turn this off, though, it's not going to do anything. It just asks for the regular number. But it's only if I shut it down fully, then it will do that. Okay, good. So now I don't have to worry about my iMessages.
So now if you turn it off, when it comes back on,
it's going to ask me for two codes.
Wow, very secure.
I set them to the same so I don't have to remember anything.
You know, the SIM PIN was a lot more relevant back in the day when batteries lasted all of 20 minutes and people generally actually powered down their phones when they were being used.
Right.
Right now, given that you might reset your iPhone maybe like 4 times a year, it's of limited use. But the idea is just to block people's access to your phone number and to your voicemail and stuff like that.
So what's unclear is how Apple's doing this. And it says this may not fix the problem if Apple is storing the UDID. As opposed to the SIM.
Well, the information I have is just that Apple is aware of the problem and monitoring the situation closely. which means that I think there'll be a 0.01 update sometime in the next month and a half that fixes this.
So be very careful not to do what I almost did, which is just kind of go, no, I want it to be this, and then it'll lock the phone forever.
That's a good tip.
I came within one, because they only give you, it looks like, 3 tries.
And then after that, they
came within one of.
Well, because of course the OS thinks that you're trying to change the password change the password to something that you don't actually control.
So this is good. This is an additional level of protection. So now I have a locked SIM. I'll change this later, but that's good. And now it's unlocking the SIM, but you only do that when you shut it all the way down. Thank God.
I do hope that we're.
I wonder if you wipe it, I guess it would require that too, right?
Yes.
This is the problem we're having.
It's stored in the SIM. The SIM is non-volatile.
Right.
So wiping it, the phone does not wipe the SIM, obviously.
Right.
Good. So now I can lose this with impunity. So happy to hear that. Steve Jobs gets a Grammy. Johnny Ive gets a knighthood.
That's pretty fair.
That seems fair. Posthumous Grammy for Steve Jobs for significant contributions to music. I think that's wonderful. It's a trustees award. It will be the second Grammy to honor Apple. It got a technical Grammy 10 years ago. That's great. The music industry is recognizing that Apple changed everything, but maybe not for the worse. Maybe for the better. They sure made a lot of money off of iTunes.
And I think they created a lot of opportunity, much of which the record industry has not
capitalized upon.
Because their head is in a dark place.
Sir Johnny Ive is now a Knight of the British Empire, KBE. That word came out on the Queen of England's New Year's honors list. The Mercury News quotes Ive saying, "I'm keenly aware that I benefit from a wonderful tradition in the UK of designing and making. To be recognized with this honor is absolutely thrilling, and I'm both humbled and sincerely grateful." I think he should be Sir Johnny.
He's a good Sir Johnny.
He's a good
Sir
Johnny.
If you're going to have knights, this is the kind of guy you want to have.
Yeah, a knight of design.
Yes.
Love it. Wonderful.
You got to imagine what the people in his studio are going to be welcoming him with, like when they all came back from vacation.
Oh, God.
If there was
Can
not
you
like
imagine?
A kick butt, milled aluminum armor plate waiting for him. With like the glowing logo on the chest, like Tony Stark.
Yeah.
I would never hear the end of it.
Sword in the stone.
I think everyone in my company make fun of me forever.
And you'd be very pleased that they did.
Yes. Yes, actually.
Did you?
In high school, when my English teacher got his doctorate in English, for an entire week, we would not allow the class to start until like we all started going, doctor, it hurts when I do this. And by Thursday, he'd be like, then don't do that. Okay, can we get on with the class?
Yeah.
the goal is to, he's going to be proud of his achievement, but it's your job as the underling to drive that pride with him and just make it a wearying trial day after day after day.
I wish they'd come out with this in time for Christmas. DID Corp, they do very, very detailed German action figures. Like, here's a Panzer tank, you know, and a paratrooper from Algeria, 1961. French Resistance, Christmas special. His name is Pierre. And until they get the cease and desist letter... A fully posable action figure of Mr. Steve Jobs, Grammy Award-winning Steve Jobs. Look how good this looks.
Yeah. It's superlative.
Now,
unfortunately, you go on the site, you can't actually. Were you able to actually see that on the site?
No.
Well, I can't find it, which means I wonder if they got to him earlier on. They have the other, I'm sure, completely unlicensed celebrity likenesses dolls up there. There is. Tom Hanks from Saving Private Ryan, and it's named after, I think it's called the Captain Miller doll.
Uh-huh.
But it's obviously, it is just as good as the Steve Jobs doll is. That's how good the Tom Hanks likeness is. There's also a German general that looks absolutely perfect rendition of Ed Harris.
Well, so I think the French Resistance guy, Pierre, looks just like Tom Selleck. Maybe that's what they do. Yeah, you're right. It's totally Ed Harris.
Right, it's like, so if you finally want your Bud Brigman action figure from the abyss,
look at that. It's actually Major Erwin Koenig from the Battle of. So obviously, what they do now, you know, Steve Jobs is a public figure. You can make a Steve Jobs doll. What you can't do is put trademarked Apple goods with him. So if they don't include the iPhone or the Macintosh, that's not illegal.
I'd be surprised if they'd also call it Steve Jobs. They would call it Visionary.
Right.
Probably.
The insanely great action figure.
Yeah.
Although, I don't know. How does that work? Because you can't use Albert Einstein's likeness in an ad unless you pay his estate money. Does that mean you can't make...
I don't know. I think that his likeness, though, is different. A photograph of him and a painting of him or a sculpture of him, I think, is different.
I don't know.
But I'm not 100% sure.
I know that you definitely cannot have a Macintosh in there. Boy, that really does look like Ed Harris.
Yeah.
Wow. These are uncanny.
Yeah, and they're ungodly. And I've seen like figures like this, and you think, oh wow, that's a really nice like wax mannequin. And no, that's about a 10-inch doll. Like, wow. What?
Yeah, these are better than the wax museum stuff.
Yeah.
How much do they cost?
Well, I don't know.
Steve Jobs doll, supposedly $99. But again, I was looking at this morning. I could not find
it. The first day
since I heard about this, I was able to actually load the site, and I was not able to find the Steve Jobs figure
there
anywhere.
It's a pretty
slow
site. The DID stands for Dragon in Dream. They have a Barack Obama.
And if it's an Asian company, you know they respect intellectual property rights. So you know that this must be licensed.
They have a horse, Action Man, U.S. Army Equipment, Napoleonic Series. There's Che. Huh. Samurai. Interesting. I guess it's probably nowadays, Alex, with 3D rendering technology, not so difficult.
You could definitely get a pretty good start. I mean, I bet you a lot of that's hand sculpted.
Oh, you think?
You know, I mean, I think
that's... Actually, you'd be surprised. A lot of the, especially the action figures are done today. The first step is usually ZBrush. It's actually like a 3D model that's instead of clay. And then it's really a digital production from start to finish. So in many, when it's an actual license thing, they will actually get the real guy like into a scanner,
right?
And they'll at least be the starting off point for it. But it's been a while since I've bought lots of. I cured my action figure fetish about twenty years ago.
By the way,
I realized these are shelves that could be having electronics instead of Star Wars action figures. But it's amazing the level of detail they can put into each one of these.
I'm going to build. I'm working on building a new 3D model of your head.
Can I have an action figure?
Yes.
Can I be opposable?
We'll work on that. I don't know about the action figure. We're going to borrow a bunch of 5Ds and do some digitizing.
You want me to come in and you can put dots on my face?
We don't need to do dots anymore. That's the whole thing. We just take a whole bunch of photos and then we upload them to the cloud and then we get a model.
The cloud does it.
The cloud does it.
You know what else I get from the cloud? My audiobooks. Let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to have our iOS and Lion tip and our picks of the week as well with Alex Lindsay of the Pixel Core, pixelcore.com and pixelcore.tv for the podcast. And Andy Anatko from the Chicago Sun-Times. But first, look at all these great books. I swear, Audible is just knocking it out of the park. 100,000 titles now at audible.com, and I'm going to give you one free. The hardest thing is figuring out which one you want. Wow. So here's the deal, and then I'll let Andy make a pick for us. Right now I'm listening to the second book of the Song of Ice and Fire, because I know that the Game of Thrones has sequel is coming. They're working on it for HBO, so I want to read A Clash of Kings before they do it on TV, because I like to read these things. In fact, one of the reasons I love Audible is because when you listen to stuff like that, it's almost as if you're watching a TV show, except your brain is so much better than anything that they could realize on the screen. I mean, your brain has an infinite budget. So I love listening even more than reading it, because listening, it somehow there's something about how it comes in your ears. I think I've seen it almost already, you know? I just love that. So that would be a good one.
I'm listening to SEAL Team 6.
Oh, is it the story of the rescue?
No. It's actually by it's basically almost a memoir from a SEAL Team 6 sniper. And it just gives you a whole world. I'm doing some research. I'm working on a movie that's all about that type of thing.
Well, I should warn you, Dana Brunetti was in here, and they have optioned the SEAL Team 6 story of the captain.
Yeah.
It's already been optioned. They're already making the movie. I think Sony's making it. They're already making the movie.
Well, no, that's different. I'm working on something different.
Good,
so anyway, but the
well, they got the pirates, right? They rescued the captain. Yeah.
And that was an incredible thing. But he kind of walks you through his whole everything from his childhood that led up to him being successful and being in SEAL Team 6 too, which was a lot of beating from his father.
Oh, wow.
It turned out, it was kind of like, yeah, it didn't seem that bad when they were doing this stuff, because no one was beating me, and so it was like, no matter how bad it got in his training, but it also talks about the training and what they had to do and everything else. It's just a very, and it's this kind of I don't know who's reading it, but it's like a no nonsense kind of thing. It's a fun, if you're into that kind of thing, it's fun.
Audible has a list of 5 anti-resolutions for New Year's, including this one: French women don't get fat, the secret of eating for pleasure.
Ooh, I like that.
I know. So give us a recommendation, Andy. Everybody should go to audible.com/MacBreak, and you can get your first book free. You'll be signing up for the gold account. That's a book a month. But the first month's free. Your first book is free, or a credit towards the first book. Most books are a single credit. And the book is yours to keep. You can cancel at any time. You got something that people should absolutely listen to?
Well, there's the book that I'm listening to. I'm actually reading right now. It was a Christmas gift. It's trippy. This is like the first real like hardcover book I've read in I don't know how long.
Looks like Penn Jillette on the cover there.
Exactly. It's a book of essays and talks they gave, something called God No. in which he speaks his mind on a great many subjects that are very, very familiar to fans of Penn Jillette. So yes, atheism is one of the topics, skepticism, science, another one. Also, odd environmental places in which he attempted intercourse.
Oh, dear.
Such as, again, if you have access to the NASA Vomit Comet, why not get naked and see, scuba geared underwater. Okay, that's fine too. So I'm just saying that there's the I'm at page 100 in the book. It's like 200 page book. The very next chapter has a title that I can't really read here, so I'm not going to.
he's a wild man. I gotta say,
this is not a book like for your Aunt Shelby, unless your Aunt Shelby is pretty hip. I love it for two reasons. As an audiobook, it's going to be great. There's a long sample of it, and Penn Jillette has that really wonderful, forceful voice in which he delivers the material that he's talking to.
He reads it, yeah.
It's like hang out with your friend. It's definitely not the book you'd listen to like as you drift off to sleep. Definitely a good book to keep you awake as you're driving late at night. But one of the reasons why, as usual, I love almost everything that he writes is that even when I disagree with stuff that he's saying, he's made such an interesting argument of in my opinion, wrongheadedness, that it really forces me to sort of evaluate why I think that's wrong and organize in my mind, not just a reaction of, oh, that's just BS. I don't know why, where's he talking out of in that one? Actually organizing your thoughts and figuring out, here's why specifically I don't think that's correct, and here's the argument I would present. And so, and in doing so, you think more about, you learn more about what you believe and what you think about. So there's only one chapter that so far that I thought, oh God, this wasn't even amusingly bad, amusingly wrong. This is just offensively wrong.
He can be pretty offensive, but you know that as long as you understand, that's what you're getting into.
But that's okay, and, right. And I don't want to say it's just it's all about atheism and intercourse. It's also about
my two favorite subjects. I'm going to read it. That's
well, I won't even go there.
But. Yes, you godless heathen, you come here.
I'm just looking at like the Family Feud board. And I'm say eight responses that I think are would be funny to say. Three of them I shouldn't say. Two of them aren't particularly funny. One is hysterical but needs to be carefully worded. And so I'm afraid I'm going to have to pass the category to the Ryerson family.
You're smart.
Yeah, well,
yes.
They will put it. But I'm enjoying the hell out of this book, it's a really good recommendation. It's not the longest one in the catalog, but on Audible it is unabridged, so you get to hear the whole thing.
Yeah, 7 hours and 23 minutes is pretty decent. I feel like you know Penn Jillette. Is that not the case?
That is not the case. I met him. I met him exactly once, and it was the way that everybody gets to meet Penn and Teller. Right. Well, actually, which is after the show.
Backstage.
Although, one of the most interesting experiences of my life was going back to the Millennium Broadway. I was once stared at by Teller for a good, like, solid 5 minutes, like at 1 a.m. Because it was the freakiest experience ever. Because I left my room key like in my room, so I needed like make another one. It was like 1:30 in the morning. It's like one of those horseshoe shaped like reception desks.
Yeah,
and I'm standing here like sort of, and Teller is like just sort of leaning against the against the counter, waiting for help. And I noticed him just like looking, like he's just like leaning, but he's just sort of like looking at me like that, not glaring. He's just
looking,
and I'm trying to, and I recognize a. Hey, that's Teller of Penn and Teller, and I'm a huge Teller's written in the Magic magazine.
Oh, I love him. Yeah,
essays about just the craft of magic. And my instinct is to say, "Hi, you're Teller of Penn and Teller. I'm a big fan of you, Teller, and I read your book in Genie magazine, and that's wonderful." And then thinking that, well, perhaps he wants to, you know, he doesn't want adulation. He wants to be sort of like left alone. But then, like, I notice he's still staring at me, and I'm like,
he's just waiting.
Very weird. Like, did he say this guy looks like exactly the sort of like nerd loser who's going to come up to me and bother me about, hey, you know that I used to do the cups and balls routine in high school, and I used to. It was like, and finally, I just like sort of waved because I don't know what to do. This is Teller who's staring at me. It's 1:30 in the morning, and he probably has powers of some sort. So,
did he wave back?
He did not. He's just like this, and I'm wondering.
He was out of it. I don't think
there was a painting behind me that had something really.
He was on Ambien. He had no idea what he was doing, and
I have no idea. But again, that's going to be my icebreaker if I ever get a chance to actually meet Teller.
You stared at me for 5 minutes. Why?
I don't know if you remember me, Mr. Teller.
What was the answer?
We were at the Millennium Broadway, like Macworld Expo. I don't know if you were in front of
Macworld. Why were you staring at me?
Macworld Expo. Anyway.
Maybe he was trying to figure out. Maybe he thought he knew you, and he was trying to figure out, I know this guy. Why do I know this guy? And because he watches, I know he's a big fan of MacBreak Weekly. So maybe that was it.
This would have been like 97, 98.
He was going, but he sees, you know, he travels in time. So he was going to be a big fan.
But doesn't travel in time. He exists in all planes simultaneously.
That's what I mean. So, it's just amazing.
You know, there was a time when, back in 2001, when, before Andy and I had met, actually, and we were in, it was at Macworld, and I walked by and I looked and I said, "That's Andy Iannocco."
I stared at him walking by.
I
think you were with me.
And but he didn't notice me.
I know. We stared at him for a good five minutes.
Like, "That's Andy Iannocco."
Now, did one of my people rough you up? Because I remember
I didn't rough you up. I didn't want to bring that up. I really thought you hadn't noticed.
I just don't know if like how I gave him like the small bonus, not the big bonus that year. I never heard back. I didn't hear a police report.
Yeah. It was.
There's a reason why after they rough you up, they give you that comment card because I can't evaluate their performance.
It was it was the fibula. Fortunately, it went on, not the tibia. So I felt that I got off easy. You know,
audible.com/MacBreak. If you have not yet joined, please do. I think you'll love it.
If you're a fan of old-time radio comedy, like you've just heard right now.
Or non-sequitur
it's
humor.
The McGee and Alex Show.
I use the Audible app on both Android and iPhone and download all my audio. And it's fun. They have a little gamification thing to, you know, you get points for how much you listen and all of that. But it's just before I go anywhere, I make sure I've got my...
I have so many books. I have like a library, and I go back and I listen to some books and listen to sections over and over and over again. And
one of the nice things about the app is your whole library of everything you've ever purchased
is on there.
Is on it. So you can go back through, in my case, 500 books. So it's like I've got a whole library in my pocket. And download. You have to download.
It's a lot easier on your back than taking those all with you in a backpack.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? Audible.com/MacBreak. You're going to love it. Let's get our iOS tip of the week. Do you want to do one today?
I'm ready.
All right.
I got one for the iPad
Alex
and the
Lindsay.
iPhone.
Yes.
So, and I've been getting a lot of help from our listeners for some of these.
They're good.
And
they're really good.
So this is from Jeff Price. And by the way, if you're listening, if you're following me on Twitter, a lot of times on Monday I'll go, I'm working on the tips and what should I think about? And then this is what I got.
You crowdsource it.
I am crowdsourcing. It's great because people are so much smarter than I am. So anyway, so the... So if you go in and you want to type something, one of the things I thought was interesting is people kept on talking about the split keyboard on the iPad because it's a little bit big. If you hold down the keyboard, mm-hmm. it says undock or split.
Mm-hmm.
So you go to split. Now you got two little keyboards.
Here, let me show everybody what it looks like because it is kind of cool.
You got two little keyboards. If you're a thumber.
If you're a thumber. So that's if people type like that.
Yeah.
So you hold down this logo, the little keyboard.
Right.
And I can reassemble it.
Yep.
And if I want to disassemble it, by the way, notice this is very subtle, but see those little ridges here? Mm-hmm. That's so you can move this thing around. Did you know that?
I have never used.
If I select undock.
Then you can move that up and down. You can find the most comfortable place.
I can slide
place.
It around, yeah. I don't know exactly how to
do that.
And then split's the one you were showing.
Yep.
So there's a way to do it. How do you do that? We did this on iPad today, and I cannot remember.
To split?
Oh, to move it up and down? Around. Somebody told me. Do you remember?
That part I don't know.
I think there's a grabber.
Just drag it. I was pressing it.
That's the problem.
Don't press it. Whoa.
Very touchy.
Okay, I'm sorry, but here, you can have this back now. There's no keyboard left on it.
It ran off. So, and then the second one, and this is just a real quick one for the iPhone, because it was something that when it first came out, people kept on talking about, and I couldn't remember how to do it. So you want to take a picture really quickly, just make sure your phone's off, just double-click that bottom home key.
Double-tap the home key.
Double-tap the home key, and then click on the camera, and boom, you're in the camera.
That is a new feature in iOS 5.
Yes.
It is just
and
fantastic.
It's just great. Yeah. But people have heard about it, but I think a lot of people didn't know where it actually was. And that came in from Sphere in a Box. Reminded me that was a good one to talk
about.
So
you're in the off position. You double tap the home key.
And there's
by the way, that's also handy
right.
if you're listening to music.
And you can throw it to AirPlay. There's a lot of little things that you can do there.
All without logging in. And then finally, if it's somebody else's phone, you could take pictures. And then it'll be on their phone without them knowing.
Nice.
Cool, huh?
That is so dangerous. I didn't even think about that. That's a whole tip in itself.
It's a little security issue there. A lion tip, and then we're going to get to our questions. So get those questions queued up.
Yes.
This is technically an iTunes match tip, and it's sort of a broad thing. Everyone knows how well iTunes Match works. If you buy a song off iTunes, it syncs to every single device. Also, anytime you put any piece of music you put into the library, whether it's off a CD or download from someplace else, it will automatically match by iTunes and be available to every other device. But if you think a little bit beyond that, you realize that now it becomes you have opportunities if you carefully choose what store you buy your music from. It used to be that there was little difference between buying a song off of Amazon MP3 versus iTunes. They're all unlocked. They're all 256K bitrate. Now though, if you buy your music from Amazon MP3 and you have the automatic Amazon MP3 downloader app, which is free, where when you click the buy button on the Amazon site, not only is it purchased, but it also is automatically downloaded and added to the iTunes store. added to your iTunes library, realize that iTunes Match doesn't care where those files come from. So as soon as the downloader finishes putting those files into iTunes, iTunes takes over, does an iTunes Match, realizes that, okay, you actually do own a version of Devil Went Down to Georgia, and now you're that song is available to all of your devices direct from the iTunes store. And remember that when you purchase music off of Amazon MP3, it also goes into the Amazon Cloud Player automatically. And if you have signed up for Google Music and you have that little enhancer plugged in, it automatically will be uploaded into Google Music. So now there's really an advantage to Amazon MP3 over the iTunes Store for purchases, because if you buy your music from Amazon MP3, you can access it from any web browser anywhere in the world because it's there on your cloud player and you can play it through any browser. If you buy it through iTunes, you will be able to play it through iTunes. You will be able to play it through your iOS devices. If you've got Google Music installed, you can also play it through Android and through that cloud as well, but you won't have the Amazon Cloud Player. So that kind of switched me over from now I will still sort of sample music through the iTunes app because I think that's the easiest way to browse for music. But when it comes time to buy music, I always, always, always buy it from Amazon because I just love the idea of this, like, Rube Goldberg sort of thing where I click this button and 41 different interactions take place to make it so that I don't have to do any sync or anything, but this music that I bought off of this completely unrelated music store is now available on my iPhone about 10 seconds
later.
That
is cool. You should note, though, that it does count against your total songs, whereas if you buy it on iTunes, it does not. That's the only negative to that. But what is it, 25,000 songs? I think we have a little leeway.
I don't have that many.
Yeah, that's a lot of songs.
I think I'm at about 13 or 14,000.
Yeah. There, Apple finally has kind of explained how iTunes Match worked. There's a good document, which we will put in our show notes, where they kind of say, answer some questions that people had about iTunes Match and how it works and all that stuff. They finally documented it.
They should have had that from day one.
I don't understand why they didn't. It's bizarre. It's like, oh, there weren't enough people, so, but now we got it. What are people asking in the chat room there?
Number one question was,
bit.ly/AskMacBreak.
Yes. And number one question was end of the month event, which we addressed.
What is it? Why are we?
What's the deal was technically the one. It was the most voted on. Second one, which we talked about, I think, as much as we need to. The second one was why would I want, this is from Mike S. He says, why would I want to replace a TV in my house for over $1,000 in comparison of getting a $99 Apple TV? What would be the benefit of the TV natively running iOS compared to a box? It reminds me of TiVo's failed attempt to put it into TVs. As the person who keeps on saying that I think we're going to get an Apple TV, I think that for me, the thing is I don't want to deal with any more controllers. You know, with my Apple TV, you know, I want to be able to watch. There's this, I know it sounds like a minor thing, but, you know, right now if I want to watch the Steelers, I have to go back to cable. You know, if I want to watch, you know, live TV and everything else, I have to go back to cable. I have to use all these crazy, stupid Comcast stuff.
That's why you love Google TV.
And
Google TV is a pass-through device that sits on top of your TV, so you never change
the input.
It just pushes a search on top of it or Twitter on top of it. Now that they've updated it, I actually am liking it a lot. It's only $99.
Well, I may get one of those two, just play with it and figure it out. For me,
it's
the thing is,
whatever Apple does, it's googly. It's you know, it's Android.
And what I like is once I go into the Apple TV universe, my controller stopped working. For instance, last week. And once you go into the Apple TV universe, the issue is now you're on your iPhone or iPad. You're controlling it. You know, if you're a person that has an iPhone and iPad, it means that there's a lot of new interactions that are possible. And the idea is that it's one thing. You turn the TV on and it takes over. And I still think that the real breakthrough for FaceTime, which I've been using a lot more lately than I did when I started, is a built-in camera built into the TV. I still think that turns into a Jetsons. You know, I can see my parents and my parents-in-law going crazy over that with our kids.
I'm actually with this person because it doesn't make any sense to me.
I do think the first step is to unleash the Apple TV, which is like let the iOS apps
put apps
run free.
On it, and that's what Jeremy Carty suggests.
Right.
Or is that who was asking that question?
That was
a follow up.
So the next question we had was from Scott Nelson. He said, iCloud and Apple TV don't always mix well. For example, share an Apple TV across the whole family. Right. iCloud gives you only one email account. Use aliases, create new folders, dad's inbox, mom's inbox, etc. Additionally, some standard apps allow for different Apple IDs, but not all. When do you want to create an alternative Apple ID? FaceTime, Game Center? Like, when does it make sense to create it?
All the time. That's an interesting question. I mean, it's funny that you should ask this because I got three questions on the radio show this weekend from three different people. One said, you know, my husband and I share an Apple ID because we like our music, but then I gave it an iPod Touch to my nephew, and now I get death metal on my system. And I pointed out that you don't have to use the same ID even on a single device. That iPod Touch could have one ID for buying, another ID for iCloud. I think it's probably not a bad idea to have a separate ID for iCloud. You still can share apps and music, but it doesn't automatically get copied. You see what I'm saying? So I think it's actually, there are good times to have a separate ID.
I think that the one thing that I think that iCloud is kind of broken in a lot of ways is that there's not a lot of ways, for people to collaborate as groups. And I think it's kind of a bummer.
The fact that you can't delete individual pictures from PhotoStream means that I can't, you know, you got to be careful who you share your photo stream with.
But I think that there's a, you know, like, for instance, I want to be able to set up very easily and seamlessly, set up things that that on an iPad or an Apple TV or whatever is going to go, my parents are going to be able to see.
We had that.
We had.
They took it out. Mobile Me did that with the galleries. They're not going to do that anymore.
Yeah,
so you could have a gallery that grandma saw automatically, wirelessly, would go to her Apple TV, would show up there. It's gone.
It's gone. And I have to say that if you've not upgraded, I would highly suggest sticking with Mobile Me until the very last
it's
minute.
It's like May or something.
I know, but I'd stay and hope that Apple's going to put some of the stuff back in because iCloud is a train wreck.
Right.
In my opinion.
I wouldn't say it's a train wreck. It's
so frustrating.
It's A, incomplete, and B, not well explained and documented.
Right. I would agree with Andy. It has potential.
With an emphasis on A, as an incomplete. Yeah, it just works.
It has potential.
You know, it's like this wheel just works because when you roll it, it just keeps on going. Right. But it's not the whole car that I had before.
Imagine if iPhone 1.0 had the browser work great, the contact management worked great, the mail was rudimentary and required a dial-up connection. Yeah. That's sort of what iCloud is like, where if on balance you wish there were a way that I could keep the old stuff that still works great and have just the new stuff that you kind of like, and you also kind of wish that the new stuff worked better, I still think that documents in the cloud, they probably just should have held that back until at least they had some support for desktop iCloud sharing. I'm still using Dropbox for just about everything because Dropbox isn't as slick as iCloud, but it is all inclusive. It is the dream of I get to create and edit this document on my desktop, then grab my bag, go to the bakery cafe or go to the coffee shop and edit that same document on my iPad. I do have to click a button to and Dropbox to then forward that on to the app, and then later on I have a problem syncing it back down again. But it's just wearying to know that unless I prepared this document for use on my mobile devices by actually going to a website and uploading it to the cloud, then I will not be able to use that in my future endeavors. Because the dream of the cloud is that it doesn't matter where your documents got stored. The reality of iCloud is that you still have to make sure you carefully pack your bag before you leave the house and leave the documents behind on your hard drive, or else it's going to bite you right in the butt.
All I'm saying is if you're listening, we had to do it. I mean, we were on the show, and we have to make sure that we're looking at the newest stuff. But I very much regret giving up my Mobile Me account. I went away and I forgot that it wasn't there. I was like, I left my computer on. I was like, I'll just use back to my Mac to kind of just go back to whatever. Oh yeah, it's not there anymore.
One more, and then we'll get to our
one more. The new for Apple in 2012. This is from Jason. Read a penning. It says, with the new stuff coming, iMacs, iPads, MacBook, will there be a new Mac Pro? Okay, we talked about this. Will there be a new Mac Pro? Will the new iMac have an optical drive since the Mac Mini has none? I think Apple jumped the gun with killing the optical drive. What is your feeling? Great job.
There's enough room on a iMac to continue to have an optical drive and still have two drives. The new iMac, I have a solid state drive, a spinning drive, and an optical drive. Nice. All in one case. And that, so there's enough room. That 27-inch display is pretty big. So I don't see killing it because they don't need to.
Right.
Not only that, but there's enough margin that they can afford to keep putting in that component and not really worry about the extra
expense. It's cheap. It makes perfect sense, though, to get rid of it on the Air, and this Air form factor makes perfect sense across the MacBook Pro line, except for the 17. So I do think that the optical drive is not long for this world. But I think I've said for a while, I think physical media is not long for
this world. I'm really fine with having a separate drive. I mean, I use an optical drive.
Still external. Yeah.
I found that there was, in my 17-inch, I found this optical, I was going to put something in to back something up for my kids, and I popped it open. I realized it had been sitting there for 6 months.
Right. Never used it. No, I haven't used it in ages. But you can get an external, and it works fine. And it's relatively cheap.
Yeah. It's like $100, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it looks nice. It fits in. The problem is carrying it around, but you just leave it at home. So, you know, I don't need it. I'm really happy with the 13 that I got. I got the 256 gig drive, so I have plenty of space. I got the i7. I kind of upgraded it, thinking that this is going to be somewhat like a 15-inch MacBook Pro with top-of-the-line stuff. And it's great. I just love it.
I can't wait. I'm dying for mine to show up because I went crazy. I went the 512.
Yeah, I did the whole thing.
8 gigs.
512, I didn't go that high.
Yeah, I went 8 gigs. And
that's a lot of money.
And the faster processor.
Yeah, I did everything but the 512. Yes.
Someone says his back to my Mac is working fine on iCloud, so I'll figure out why it didn't work for me.
Shows,
you were going to tell me that?
Yeah, I've been using it.
Yeah, I got it working fine. I don't know if you just did a partial changeover.
It's always been a little funny, you know, back to my Mac.
When it works so well, and you're like, this is magical.
Yeah.
I was editing in my house from Paris, which I thought was just magical.
Editing, I'm not
sure. I was editing a live stream in my house just as a test.
Wow, that's
Paris
wild.
With back to my Mac. And so it's great when it works, and it's very exciting. For some reason, ever since I upgraded to iCloud, I couldn't get any of it to work.
I love doing these questions. We'll do it again next week, you know, as long as we have enough time. I think it's a great thing to do. Thank you, Alex, for providing that. Thanks to Salesforce for the software. And again, bit.ly/AskMacBreak. You can continue to use it all week. And then, by the way, when are you recording?
We usually clear this
ukulele.
Just so you're warning. When are we recording Andy's ukulele? When we get Andy out here to record the ukulele. Andy, are you going to come out and do a ukulele album?
I'm coming out for iWorld. Paul Kent made me an offer I couldn't refuse in interviewing the South Park producers.
So. I don't think we'll be ready then. But
bring the uke.
But bring the uke.
We'll find an excuse for me to do a little recording. I'll even learn a third song.
Wow,
that's cool. I don't want to make any promises I can't keep, but.
It's time for our picks of the week. Why don't you start us off, Andy Anatko?
Well, this is a sort of in celebration of Johnny Ives' field promotion, shall we say, to knighthood. I don't know what it says about my personality, that truly the first thing I thought of is the amount of crap that his underlings are supposed to give him the first day back after your boss has been given a knighthood. And so
it ain't a bucket of Gatorade tossed over his head. We're a little more clever than that.
He can't really be hurt and offended by the fact that he's been given a night. You know, it's part of the celebration,
right.
I think. And so, of course, I had to tweet. Oh, well, he's going to have a unibody, you know, aluminum armor. And then I said that no, there's also going to be an Apple intern whose job it is to follow him around everywhere on the Apple campus, banging, holding up an iPhone that's playing the sound of two coconuts banging together. And then, of course, I did a search on the iTunes store. And there is actually an app for like an iPhone, like playing the sound of two coconuts banging together. In fact, there are four such apps.
Wow.
I checked them out. My favorite is called Coconut Horse by eGirter Software.
Oh, my goodness.
And it works great because it doesn't do anything until it actually... Hang on. I have to take it off of mute.
I don't know why I need to buy this, but I need to buy it.
You do not need this. You do not
But if you stop,
this.
It does nothing. But if you have it in your pocket, it just...
Oh, so it's that's different. I didn't realize it's accelerometer driven.
Now you need
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Now there, I there, need
there,
it.
There, now don't be deceived by the other iPhone coconuts banging together apps. This is Coconut Horse by eGirter Software is the one you want. It is hands free. It has a good interface. Also, the others don't actually use the actual sounds of coconuts clapping together. They use some sort of synthetic or mock coconut treatment for the sound effect. So this is the only thing that I wish that now it's 99 cents. So you got a lot of expectations for 99 cents. So my comment to Chris Erdiger would be to, when you stop, it shouldn't just simply stop. It should go clop, 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 clop. Just like the Patsy does in the actual movie. But again, I assume that this is the reason why at least two staff members at Apple got fired, because they decided to. It was funny on Monday. It was tolerable on Tuesday. On Wednesday, congratulations. You are now working on the on updates to the LaserWriter 2. support.
Wow. Wow. Very nice. Very nice.
Ozzy likes it.
Ozzy's excited. He says, no, he saw that. He saw Tom come in with a new MacBook Air. That's why he's excited. Did Tom, did you and Eileen get his and her MacBook Airs?
I'm going to sell it.
Oh, you're going to sell it. Okay. Any takers? Query
Tom. I think
he's
going to gazelle it.
Yeah, don't just sell
gazelle it.
Gazelle it.
Even better. Let's see. Your pick of the week, sir. Actually, I have to warn you. It's been done, but go ahead.
This one's been done?
I think Andy did it.
Did you do this one, Andy? Did I miss this episode?
He did do that.
Yeah.
That looks...
and I have one, too.
Okay, you go first.
It's really, really cool, and it's worth recommending
again. Go ahead, do it again. We love the plug bug. It's
10 watts. 10 watts.
Yeah, it's That's enough power to charge your iPad.
In like, some serious speed. I mean, I couldn't believe how fast it was charging it.
So this is a... So, you know, when you have your power adapter for your laptop, you can slide off the longer cord from it and then just use, you know... Use a plug for it, and I use that in international because you can buy an international kit that gives you plugs for different countries. But you can also slide this on. This is the plug bug. What is it? $30?
I think it was something like that.
It has a 10-watt USB connector. So now you only bring this with you. You put this on your power brick for your laptop. You charge your laptop and your iPad with the same device. There you go.
And that's the deal. You just leave it there,
right?
And you always have a
it's 10 always watt there
USB charger, right. Right?
Is it faster in your experience than just plugging into the computer?
Yeah, it's a lot faster than plugging into your computer. Right. But it's also faster than your... I found that it was...
Faster than the one that comes with the iPad?
I haven't timed it yet, but I think it's about twice as fast.
Oh, well, that's nice.
As charging with the one that comes with the iPad.
It's Guy Kawasaki had something to do with these guys.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well done.
It was his idea to make them red, as a matter of fact.
Oh, good.
Yeah, because the red part is not. I'm not so excited about. I really would have just preferred it to be white, but...
there you go.
But I love, like, I was kind of amazed by that. And the idea that I can hook it in at an airport and it's just like, it's not another outlet.
Sweet.
Yeah, it's great.
So there's one pick.
Sorry, I missed the.
Yeah, no, I wasn't here either. It was just you, Andy, I think.
That was when I was hosting the whole show, I remember. Yeah.
But I watched the show, so I knew. You want to do something else? You don't have to. That's fine.
That's okay. Go ahead. You do yours.
I'll do mine. So you all know Rogue Amoeba.
Yeah, they're great.
Great little company. They do something that we audio professionals use regularly called Audio Hijack Pro, but it's a little bit much, frankly, for the
yes.
the normal person who just simply wants to record stuff going on in their Mac. And so they've released a very inexpensive, I think it's $5 or $10. It's a little inexpensive thing called how do you pronounce this? Piezo? Piezo?
Piezo, yeah.
Huh? Piezo? Piezo?
I've used that component a lot. I've never actually had to pronounce it, so I think it's piezo. The one time I've heard there's a store in Needham, Massachusetts that sells like really good parts, and the one time I needed to get a replacement role, he actually pronounced it piezo, so that's how I've been saying
piezo. The chat room says piezo. I've heard piezo. Anyway, it's an electrical thing, right?
It's a sound transducer element. Yeah.
Yeah, you create an electrical field through sound pressure or something like that. But anyway... this is just a little inexpensive app that's in the App Store that just makes it very simple to record. And I like that. So let me just launch it here. By the way, that was the new Alfred 1.0, which is now out too. You couldn't make this any easier. I'll hide this so that you can see what the app is. Where is it? There it is. It's really pretty. You know, that I like Rogue Amoeba's UI design. You can choose the source, which means you can record Skype. That's one thing people do all the time and want to do it, as well as a built-in microphone if you just want to. See, I'm recording now.
Great little interface.
Yeah. They're very simple on the quality. You know, you can do spoken word, low-quality music, high-quality music, and it'll tell you what it is. So, for instance, it does AAC or MP3. The high-quality internet distribution is MP3, 256 kilobit VBR, which is more than enough if you want to do it for yourself, AAC, 256 kilobit stereo. It doesn't have mono. That's about it. It's simple. It does it. Yeah. It's a little recorder.
That's what I love about it. It works exactly the way that a audio recorder should work. Because I love the power features of these apps that let you
right.
program in what URL and what time and what day and what destination. Right. This is just simply stick a tape in the machine, press right. record, tell it where you want to record from, done.
Yeah. And I can use this, I can plug in a microphone into my USB port, and then I can use this to record radio and stuff. And it's just, I like the interface with the little count, the analog counter that's ticking over the little odometer and so forth. I just like this.
That'll always be the difference between like Apple products and non-Apple products.
Right.
This is not created by Apple, but the Macs and iOS, it creates an environment in which talented developers are motivated to create software that's as pretty as this.
Right.
It would have worked just as well if it were ugly, but someone decided, why don't we just spend an extra half a day on this? Well, sure, it was more than half a day, but let's put in the extra effort and actually make it a very beautiful, satisfying thing.
Actually, Rogue Amoeba has an in-house designer who does a really good job. She's very, very good, and this is an example of her work. So there it is. It's $10. Piezo in the P-I-E-Z-O. It's in the Apple App Store, and I thought it was worth mentioning just because it's cool. And now go ahead.
As my little, just extra pick, just to have it, I just want to remind people that Durandal is now available on the iPad for free.
What the hell's that?
It's Marathon 2.
Oh, so Bungie put Marathon 1 out, and now you can
get
this.
It's not Bungie. It's because it's open source.
It's open source.
So it's out there, and it runs better than it did ever on my Mac, just so you know, on the iPad. The technical term for this is, as a pick, you have to just say, oh, wow, wow, wow.
It's a first-person shooter. If you've played Halo, you've played the successor to this.
Let's see it.
Are you in water here? I have to. The problem with me showing it to you is I have to drive.
Just move that little thing around. There you go. Oh, now you're in the water. It's okay.
Oh, it looks like Quake.
It does. It's free, and it's and what would be really great if those guys, if the developers are listening. Oh, he's killing you. I might want to shoot him. There you go. It's good for a little nostalgia, and still a great game. What's really missing is being able to do multiplayer on an iPad, a bunch of iPads, being able to log in and do, because they have multiplayer available for the Mac ones, it'd be great to do multiplayer, because that's really where all these games are more fun.
This looks great. This looks fun. Yeah, we used to play Halo multiplayer at Tech TV all the time.
Yeah.
So much so that they actually had to put out a memo to stop us, because we would do it during the commercials.
Right? Well, and what's funny is back in the day, you had to restart your Mac and with the shift key held down to make sure that all the extensions were off.
Running. Yeah.
So you could get maximum frame rate. Otherwise, you just get your butt cleaned.
So it's kind of a maze.
Yeah.
I hear some bad.
I would so. I'd see. I did a pretty good impression of that guy.
Where'd they come from? All right, I'll give it back to you now. What is that called?
This is Marathon 2 or Durandal. Durandal. The name of it. Yeah. So it's. But if you do a search for Marathon, you'll find it.
I sure would love to have Skyrim on an iPad. Dovahkiin. All right. Andy Iannacco, Chicago Sun-Times. Check him out. Also his website, www.cwob.com. Also his other podcast, Iannacco's Almanac, on that other podcast network, 5x5.tv.
I hope to finish the Pendulette book, and that's going to be the topic of next week's show, as a matter of fact.
Good. Good, good, good.
And Alex, I really do feel bad, that I scooped your pick. So I just wanted some gesture I can do to give you some. So I've decided after much thought that I'm going to send you back the power brick that you left here several months ago.
So I can attach it to that one.
I know I don't have to do that, but I think that you deserve just that little extra sort of.
That's so sweet.
I feel bad that, so.
That's so sweet. That's the one thing I probably leave in the most number of places is my power supplies. If everyone sent them all back, I would.
I was just hoping that, if I didn't send it back to you, you'd have an excuse to come back here and visit me.
I don't need another excuse, Andy. I'll just come back.
You should do like hotels do, Andy. Just have a little basket behind the front desk with any kind of power supply you'd ever want. And it's just there. You need a power supply? Here, we have one.
Oh, I already got that going on very well. Again, you need a PS2 to USB adapter? We got one of those.
Got it. Alex Lindsay is the head honcho at the Pixel Corps. PixelCorps.com is the website. Every Thursday you do a live thing, right?
It hasn't been every Thursday in December. It was December was a little busy, but we're getting ourselves back.
You're going to be doing anything this week?
Yeah, we're going to be talking about, it's going to be Gear Media Tech. It'll probably be a little more informal than the last ones, but 6 o'clock on Thursday.
And I do believe you'll be at CES with us.
Oh, yeah.
And so we'll have, I know, Pixel Core coverage, but also Twit coverage. We've got our Sky booth, which is not in the sky, but in fact on the first floor of the South Hall, right as the as you come in the door on the first floor, right to the left there, look for us. And we'll be broadcasting Monday night, Tuesday night.
Sunday night, Monday night, all day Tuesday through Friday.
In fact, we're going to do Windows Weekly right after the Ballmer keynote. We got a whole bunch planned. And 12 noon for our next Mac Break Weekly, 12 noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern at on Tuesday.
Right? And I will be there and hopefully well-researched. I'm going to be spending a lot of time trying to figure out what we're going to talk
about. Good. So you will have we'll have a lot of coverage for you from CES. That should be a lot of fun. Thank you for joining us. Anything else I need to tell the kind people?
I think you're complete.
All right. Oh, PMA is also next week, and so we'll have photo coverage. Twit Photo, in fact, is coming up next. In just a bit, our dear friend, Ms. Catherine Hall, will be here to talk about photography. So stay tuned for that if you're watching live. If you don't watch live and you want to see these shows at your convenience, of course, we make audio and video available at twit.tv or on iTunes. Subscribe, if you will. That helps us on iTunes. Just look for Twit, and you'll find all the Twit shows. Subscribe to the ones you like to get on a regular basis. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week at CES. Now, get back to work. Break time's over.